Jazz and AJ, Premier Auto Group News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Firefighter friends were sending me pics from Ricardo Torres' funeral yesterday. Very moving, very powerful, and very sad.
Yeah.
Seeing his casket on that fire truck there was, you know, you get choked up.
You do.
A sea of firefighters in their dress uniforms. It was the largest assemblage of firefighters I could remember seeing since the funerals after 9/11.
Yeah.
It was a sea of firefighters in their dress uniforms.
A lot of respect.
It's a massive assemblage of heroes.
Yes. Everyone.
These are all living heroes. Yeah.
Very true.
Honoring a fallen hero. And I think we forget that these firefighters, they don't have to die to be heroes. But that was a very, very horribly sad story. Fox 61, our friend Tony Terzi, did a beautiful piece on it yesterday. It's 3 minutes, but it's a powerful 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. We're live outside St. Mary's Church along Hillhouse Avenue, which was teeming with first responders today, most especially firefighters. There are a couple of people that were estimating there could have been 4,000 or 5,000 firefighters from all over the country here today. The firefighter that we speak of was known as Tornado on the job for the voraciousness that he attacked his job with. He was only on the job, though, for 2 years, but what an impact he made in such a short period of time. Ricardo Torres Jr., whose mission since childhood was to become a firefighter, had his all-too-short life eulogized today in the city he loved and protected.
I cannot believe that you're gone, and it doesn't seem real. Keep looking at the door, hoping that at any given moment you'd walk right in and say, hey.
It is a privilege to have been loved by you, to have been chosen by you, and to carry your two sons for you.
Rico and his wife Erica are expecting their second son in August, but their oldest turns one next week.
I know this grieving stuff is going to take time, but I don't have time. I just want to fast forward through the pain and get to the point where I have peace with all of this because it is unbearable.
And that also holds true for those who knew him best in the New Haven Fire Department.
Rico wanted to learn and know it all. His work ethic was like no other. Rico was mission-oriented, high-speed, and everyone in the shift had to keep up with him.
New Haven's fire chief said Ricardo Torres Jr.'s work ethic and positivity set a great example for all.
Every time you saw him, he was smiling. I would say, Torres, how's it going? Living a dream, chief. And smiling. Always smiling.
Rico was one of those high-strung firefighters who wanted to get in there, and he wanted to save as many lives as possible.
And last Wednesday morning, May 12th, he helped save two lives before losing his.
Rest in peace. We'll take it from here.
Very, very emotional watching this over 2 hour ceremony today. And we thank St. Mary's Church and the family for allowing us to share the funeral service from inside St. Mary's Church for the public to learn more about this hero. Now, Chief Alston.
Yeah. That was Tony Terzi, Fox 61, did a beautiful piece on that. Tom G., the Stanford Fire Chief, is on the phone now. He was there. Hey, Tom.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Morning.
That was a tough thing to hear, but we have to play it today because we just have to hear the pain that is endured by family members left behind.
That's the worst part, knowing what they're going through.
Yeah.
You know, you're fine standing outside until the family arrives, and then it kind of hits you. You know, when you first get there and you're assembling outside, it's like, you know, it's like old home week. People you haven't seen forever from different departments, and, you know, and everybody's enjoying themselves kind of, then then it starts, and then it's then the whole mood changes. Very somber.
Becomes very real.
Yeah, and then you see the family get out of the cars and make their way into the church, and you could just, you know, you could just see the pain on their face. And the guys that worked with them, too, you could just see they just have a different look. And, you know, it's heavy. Very, very, very heavy.
I was watching the coverage, and when the fire truck pulled up with a casket on it and the guys started pulling the casket off, I thought, these pallbearers aren't just random firefighters they pick. These are the closest personal contacts. Is that usually how it happens?
It depends. Sometimes the guys that were closest to them don't think they could do it.
Right.
And you know, and but sometimes they will muscle through. So they kind of pick people. Is anybody, you know, the family may ask certain people that he knew was close, or and in absence of those individuals saying they could do it or not, they'll pick other guys that are, you know, that can get it done.
Yeah.
But, I was, you know, it's tough. I've done it. It's not good detail.
No. No. We were talking about this as it was unfolding, and I said I wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
I just
can't.
Thank you for the honor of asking, but I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, it's not fun. The whole thing is somber. As you saw, you know, that piece that you played pretty much hits on the gravity of it. And then when you're outside, they had speakers outside of the church for all of us who are, you know, you don't get to go inside the church because there's so many of us. You know, the church is only so big. So they had speakers outside broadcasting the whole service outside while we were waiting.
5,000, would you say that number was about right? It looks like it.
It's pretty close. We were when he exited the church, when he left, and we gave him his final goodbye. I mean, we were five deep for, you know, a third of a mile.
Yeah.
So, there was a lot of people there. People from Texas, you know, a lot of Connecticut and some surrounding states, you know, New York and Massachusetts, New Hampshire. And then I caught a couple guys from Austin, Texas. Nice people.
What compels What compels a firefighter from Austin, Texas to come up?
It's a big family, and if they could do it, you know, if it works for you, you feel compelled. When this happens, there's something inside you says I have to go, or we got to be there to support the family and the department, and that's why you do it.
Yeah,
the bagpipes get me.
Yep.
Oh, they're bad.
Ugh.
There was a lot of bagpiping. Those are bad. As soon as those hit, it just like twists you up.
I typically find them annoying unless they're being played at a funeral. And then they get right into wherever that switch is.
Yep.
And flip.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
That when I think it was the chief who said, we'll take it from here. Is that something you guys say when you show up on a scene and you're relieving someone or?
Yeah. I mean, basically the chief is saying, hey, good job. And we got it. So, yeah. You know, return to service. And, you know, he's returning to eternal service.
Yeah. When his voice broke up, that got me.
Yeah.
God. Yep. Yeah. That's when waterworks happen.
Yeah, you guys don't typically show that kind of emotion. You know, you're tough guys. You bust each other's ass pretty good. And I think that's part of fire
Mine
department
too.
Life.
Right.
Well, you know, you have to separate the job from what's going on inside of you. You know, it's. Listen, everybody when they get up to work knows it could happen to them. You know, if it isn't due to your direct actions, it could happen down the line with, you know, something you're exposed to or whatnot. So everybody knows that this is a reality for us. And by joking and kidding and breaking each other's chops, it's your emotional separation from the reality of the situation. Once in a while, you cross over, if you will, and you experience the reality and the depth of the job and what can happen.
Yeah.
So that was yesterday. You take a little dip in the pool. You stick your toe in the pool, and you realize it's pretty cold and bitter.
This is real. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Young Chess says he lets that stuff, you know, he works the ambulance. He says he lets that stuff just go right by, like he just rolls it off. But then about a minute later in the conversation, he says, I'll drive by a certain street and I'll remember what happened on that street.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that doesn't sound like it's rolling off. You know, I feel like you guys sometimes bottle stuff up and
it's in there.
No, it's listen, it's when you and anybody police, fire, EMS, everybody has what I call a bucket of bad things that happen. And everybody's bucket drains at a different rate, you know, and you can process things. If your bucket gets filled up and it doesn't drain, that's when you could get into trouble. And some people turn into, sometimes it's, you know, substance abuse or different types of abuse or bad things happen to them. So, you know, there's avenues and all these services for you to help drain your bucket and help process things. So you have to process and keep your bucket dry as much as possible. And you can't let it fill up. Listen, everything that we do, there's an exchange and you take a hit. And you have to constantly work to keep your bucket less full.
Yeah. Well, thanks for what you do, Tom. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Every day.
Yep. Yes.
And, yep. We appreciate the nod, and hopefully we won't have to talk about this type of event for a long time.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yep.
Especially in this area. It's been enough recently with Bridgeport and Hartford. That's enough.
Yeah.
How's the lieutenant who's in Bridgeport Hospital? I heard getting better.
They had a picture of him on Channel 8 News. I just happened to catch it last night. They had him sitting up in his Class A uniform. He was all hooked to oxygen and everything, but he was there with some of his guys, and he was watching it on TV.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
So that's good for him, and I wish him well, and I hope he gets better and gets back on a job, because that's what he needs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Good news. All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Take care. All talk right. to you guys later.
Thank you.
Bye. Stanford Fire Chief Tom G.